A new bill by two Republican lawmakers would allow concealed weapons in public university and college buildings. It would revoke an exception made to Wisconsin's current concealed carry law, allowing institutions of higher learning to enact bans inside of campus buildings. Concealed carry is already allowed outside on campus property.
The proposal comes 2 weeks after a gunman killed 9 people at an Oregon community college. Supporters say the law will allow students to defend themselves from crime or in a mass shooting situation. Critics say more guns could increase violence in a place full of young people and alcohol.
Here with us now to talk about the proposal is Adam Winkler, professor of law at UCLA and author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Adam, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Wisconsin is considering this. I know this has been a debate in other states. How common are laws that allow concealed weapons on university campuses?
Well, 7 states have laws that allow people to carry concealed guns on campus, although the details can vary on who can carry and where they can carry. About 20 states completely ban the carrying of concealed weapons on a college campus, including my home state of California, which just adopted a new law just this past week. And about 22 states leave the decision up to individual colleges. And most colleges and universities prohibit guns on campus.
As I understand it, Utah, as of a few years ago, was the only state that allowed it. It's taken off. There's been a movement in this direction around the country. Why did this idea take off?
Well, this has taken off because there's many people who favor strong gun rights who believe that really guns should be everywhere, that if you don't have guns in a place, then it's a so-called gun-free zone, and it's an actual invitation to mass shooters to come to that place because you know you can find a lot of unarmed victims who won't be able to shoot back.
Now, there's strong arguments on both sides. You've written in the past that they're both wrong to some extent. So let's take each in turn. First off, this argument that having guns on campus will help prevent things like mass shootings. What do we know about that?
Well, it doesn't appear to be the case that having guns on campus will lead to any significant reduction in mass shootings. You know, part of the issue is that most of the people on a college campus wouldn't be allowed to carry a concealed gun anyway. For instance, your state, Wisconsin, allows concealed carry of firearms, but you have to be 21 years or older to get a concealed carry license. That eliminates virtually half or more of the undergraduates at any given time at the university who just wouldn't be allowed to carry a gun no matter what. Moreover, having more people armed in a situation, while it is true that in some circumstances that might help put an end to a mass shooting quicker, you have to factor in the possibility of having another shooter there, more collateral damage, and also the possibility of gun accidents or gun thefts that lead to more criminal activity as well.
And one of the objections that's often raised to the idea is that, hey, you've got people maybe young, maybe impulsive, alcohol, not uncommon on college campuses, in Wisconsin maybe in particular. So this is going to create a hazard. We're going to see more accidental or intentional shootings outside of the mass shootings you already have. How does that pan out?
Well, that turns out to be an argument that we often hear as well. Again, it's hard to know exactly what the data would show. We don't really have much data on this, and as a result of the fact that most states either ban people from having concealed guns on campus, or the universities within that state have their own policies banning such guns, we just don't really know what the data would show. But we do know that college campuses are among the safest places for young people to be, even though they don't have access to guns today.
Talking to Adam Winkler, professor of law at UCLA, author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America, looking at proposals in the Wisconsin legislature to allow the carry of concealed weapons on college and university campuses in buildings in particular. Adam, you in that piece you wrote some years back made the case that this isn't really necessarily about safety one way or the other. It's about our attitude toward guns. Can you expand on that?
Well, yeah, I think what's really going on for many gun advocates is they want to see guns everywhere. They want to see guns normalized. And one of the best ways to normalize people to the presence of guns is to do it when people are young. That's when they really gain their values and their understanding of the world. And I think for many gun control advocates as well, That's part of the rationale. They want to keep guns off campus precisely for that reason. They don't want people to become habituated to the commonplace possession of guns everywhere. And so part of this is a culture war, and as most culture wars, the battle lines are drawn around the youth.
Now, yesterday, University of Wisconsin professors were responding to the bill on Twitter and elsewhere. A professor named Don Moynihan wrote, quote, as a faculty member who has lived through budget cuts, attacks on tenure, requiring or allowing guns in my classroom would be a last straw. So as a professor yourself, is this often how university faculty feels about these laws? They don't want guns in their classroom and their office hours?
I think it's fair to say that most faculty do not want guns on the classroom in classrooms because, in part, they've had experiences with students who are young and who, perhaps through immaturity or perhaps through the extreme stress of being young and not having a really well-developed prefrontal cortex that controls impulse and long-term consequential decision-making. They're afraid that students will act out, become angry, and take revenge upon a professor. I think this is generally unlikely. And the truth of the matter is those people can have guns on campus today. Now, the law may say, or the university policy may say, you can't have a gun on campus. But I don't know about you. I've never been on a college campus where I've had my bag searched. I've never been on a college campus that really had rules in place, like, say, an airport, to really prevent people from carrying guns. And given the fact that everyone's carrying a backpack in which a handgun would easily fit, not sure that the rules that say no guns on campus are really all that effective in keeping guns off campus.
I wanted to follow up on the idea of gun-free zones. So we hear arguments, whether we're talking about campuses, schools, elementary schools for that matter, the idea that gun-free zone, as you mentioned, people see that as maybe being a target. Somebody who wants to do a mass shooting, that's where they're going to start. Have we seen, and I know you may not have perused the journals of all mass shooters, but have we seen evidence that that is a consideration for mass shooters?
I don't think there's been any social scientific evidence that has shown that to be the case, that mass shooters target places in which other people won't have guns. Indeed, one of the things, well, one reason to suspect that's not the case, is that one of the things we know about most mass shooters is that they expect to die in the incident. And many mass shooters, of course, do die in the incident. Either they turn the gun on themselves or they're shot by a police officer and every once in a while shot by a bystander who has a firearm. So these are usually moments of suicide where people are taking a lot of people down with them. It's not clear to me that given the idea that one wants to go down with them, one would be so prevented from going to a place where other people might have guns. And, of course, we do know of plenty of mass shootings that happen in places that are not gun-free zones. Remember, Gabrielle Giffords was shot in Arizona out in the public, you know, in a big parking lot. You know, in Arizona, you don't even need a permit to carry a concealed weapon.
You mentioned that an argument like this over guns on campuses is as much a culture war issue as it is about evidence. Are people pretty much impervious to actual evidence about what the presence or absence of guns does once they've made up their mind which side they're on?
Well, I do think that the two sides in America's gun debate really have profoundly different worldviews, and as a result of those worldviews, really couldn't agree on the kinds of evidence that they'd find persuasive in any case. For many gun enthusiasts, they want more guns because they think the best way to reduce gun violence is for more people to be armed, and that creates disincentives for people to actually commit crimes with guns. For many gun control advocates, they see the world and causation exactly the opposite. They say, look, if we want to reduce firearms deaths, we need to reduce access to firearms. And because they both have very different understandings of the causes and consequences of gun violence, it's incredibly difficult for them to come to agreement as to what kind of evidence would be persuasive in the gun debate.
I was just reading a piece, I think it's from the AP this morning, saying there isn't as much research as you think there might be. The CDC is restricted by law passed by Congress on how much data collection they can do, how much research they can do on gun violence as a public health issue. Are there a lot of unanswered questions that we just don't have access to the answers on?
They're almost all unanswered questions. It's really quite remarkable, given the fact that gun violence takes the lives of about 30,000 Americans every year. That includes both homicides and the majority of gun deaths, which are suicides. Every other major public health problem that leads to the deaths of thousands of people is the subject of extensive research, much of it financed by the federal government, and like you say, the CDC or the National Institutes of Health. And yet we have very, very little research that goes into gun violence prevention, in part because the NRA has been very successful at shutting off the spigot of federal research dollars that would go to gun violence prevention research. So we really just don't know what the best ways to control guns, because we just don't have the data.
We're talking to Adam Winkler, professor of law at UCLA and author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Yesterday, two state Republican lawmakers unveiled a bill that would allow concealed weapons inside public university and college buildings.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think concealed carry should be allowed in college campus buildings in Wisconsin? Why or why not? And do you study or do you work on a public campus? Does your child or spouse? Let us know what you think and how it might affect you and your family. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation with Adam Winkler, professor of law at UCLA and the author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Yesterday, two state Republican lawmakers unveiled a bill that would allow concealed weapons inside public university buildings in Wisconsin.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should concealed carry be allowed in campus buildings? Why? Why not? Could this help prevent mass shootings or would it create new dangers? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. A comment from Josh on Facebook who says laws that make people unholster, unload, lock up before they leave their car are unsafe, create unnecessary transitions. They also leave guns in a place easier to be stolen than could end up in the hands of criminals where no one wants them. So, Adam, that's been one argument against having these no gun zones is that, hey, if it's legal for people to concealed carry, this is going to create weird situations for them where they would have to leave their gun maybe unattended, maybe in a vehicle.
Well, that is definitely a possibility. If someone has a right to carry a concealed gun, they can drive their car and have the gun in the car. When they get to a college campus, they won't be able to bring their guns either onto campus or perhaps they'll be able to leave them, depending on the state rules, in a parking lot. And that does create an issue with some gun owners would have to unholster their gun and create a moment where they might be vulnerable. However, that seems like a very unlikely situation. We don't have any data to show that people are often attacked at the moment that they're unholstering their gun. In fact, you might imagine that people would be less likely to attack them when they have their gun unholstered. And it is certainly the case, though, that if they leave their gun in their car, it could be subject to theft. You know, people will happily break into a car to steal your iPod. A firearm can be sold on the black market for much more than the iPod, and as a result, they may be a tempting target for someone who wanted someone who wanted to steal one.
Go to our callers now. Dave is on the line in Eau Claire. Dave, hi.
Hi, as you were talking about this about 10 minutes ago, I was thinking about, you know, is there really a ban on research into the data around gun safety? Can you give some details about what that ban looks like? What was the legislation and the reasoning behind it? And then secondarily, what would it take to fund that outside the airway? How much money would it take to get good data?
Dave, thanks for the call. Adam?
It's a great question, and I don't want to be heard to suggest that there's a ban on doing gun violence prevention research. What there is a ban on the Center for Disease Control, which is one of the major financiers of research into public health programs into America, on doing studies that lead to gun control proposals and the advancement of gun violence prevention efforts. And that law was put in place by the NRA and its allies in Congress specifically because they were afraid that the government agencies were going to only finance studies that tended to show that gun control works. And for the NRA and its allies in Congress, they don't believe that gun control works and don't want the government to be supporting research that goes to support something that is against their beliefs and might be used to limit Second Amendment rights. What will it take to change that law? I think you really need to change Congress, and nothing like that is happening. I will say that the president has taken some executive actions to free up money as much as he can in accordance with the law for gun violence prevention research. So a little bit more money is flowing in that direction. But still, it's a very underfinanced area of research.
Dave, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Kristen in Madison. Kristen, hi.
Hi, how are you? I've worked for the UW system since 1999 in a variety of different roles, sometimes teaching, sometimes researching, and I've been the person that stood in front of classrooms of 150 students. And I can tell you, I loved my students, but the thought of my students carrying arms in a classroom is absolutely frightening. I have yet to see evidence that more guns makes us more safe as a society. We have one gun for every man, woman, and child in this nation, and the number of shootings we've had have just exploded over the recent years. And I just urge people to call and let legislators know that this is not a good move for anyone at the university system. We are scared.
Kristen, thanks a lot for sharing your perspective. I wanted to key in on one point she mentioned there, Adam, the idea that the number of shootings has exploded or gone up in recent years. What are the statistics like there? There are 30-some thousand, you said, a year, but is there a trend?
Well, in fact, while I certainly understand the frustrations of the caller, the data show the opposite, which is that we are at 40-year lows in terms of gun violence in America today. We are seeing a spike in mass shootings, it appears, although the numbers are somewhat in doubt. They certainly are getting a lot more press and media attention and have caused much more public controversy than they have in the past. But the overall rates of gun violence and gun crime and gun homicides is remarkably down, less than half of what it was in 1990, for instance. So one of the interesting things that's happening right now, at least from my perspective as an academic, is that we see a real reinvigoration of the gun debate, a real sense of Americans that we have to do something soon about this gun violence problem, at the same time while our violent crime rates are at historic lows. It's really an interesting phenomenon.
But to Kristen's main point that as somebody standing up in front of a classroom full of young students, not feeling comfortable, feeling maybe frightened of the notion of a lot of them maybe carrying firearms, this is a perception that's shared in other institutions around the country.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think many of us are attracted to academia because we believe in the world of ideas, and that we believe that universities are a place where we can have conversations about even the most difficult, trying, and emotional issues as part of an effort to gain more education and insight into the world's problems and values. The idea that students will be armed scares many of us who have to be in the classroom. Look, I'm a law professor. Law professors are famous for cold calling on their students, for very, very aggressive questioning, really pushing students sometimes to the brink. They hate to think that there might be a student out there who has a firearm and who would react negatively. But again, I want to emphasize, there is nothing in our current university rules. Well, there are things in the university policies that stop guns on campus, but nothing in our actual practices that stop some crazed student who really wants to kill a professor from bringing a gun on campus.
Kristen, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking about a proposal in Wisconsin's legislature to allow concealed carry on campuses in university and college buildings. Adam Winkler is with us, professor of law at UCLA. Back to our callers with Elizabeth in Madison. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi. I'm no longer a university student. I went to UW Eau Claire, though, and just the thought of having another student in my classes who would be carrying a weapon that could kill any one of us at any given moment, I think it's sick. I think it's pretty sick that anyone would even want to carry a gun, let alone in a big group of people. What about, like, our rights, my rights, to be in a safe classroom where there aren't weapons? My question.
Elizabeth, thanks for the call. Adam, definitely a culture difference here. A lot of people, like Elizabeth, astounded at the notion. A lot of people who are gun owners thinking this is a perfectly natural thing. How do we get these sides talking to each other, not past each other?
Well, that is really the trick for America's gun debate, isn't it? I mean, we really are talking past each other. I can imagine someone, a caller, and saying almost the exact same thing, but with the conclusion that one should be able to have a gun in a college campus. They would point to all these shootings, like the recent shooting at the Oregon Community College, and say, hey, you know what? I would be safer if there were someone in that classroom who could fight back and who could limit the damage from a mass shooter. Or maybe just the fact that other people have guns in that classroom means the mass shooter is going to go to a different place. Again, I don't know that the data would support those arguments, but that's the worldview that the other side from this caller, that's the worldview that they have, and I think it's a reason why we're talking past each other rather than talking to each other.
Adam, we're talking about this legislation in Wisconsin. We've talked about other states that have allowed concealed carry in classrooms at universities and colleges. Has this ever been tried at the federal level, something to preempt and say, hey, all states, all universities around the country, no more gun-free zones?
Well, there is an effort from the Republican caucus in the House to push for national reciprocity of concealed carry. That would basically mean that if you have the right to carry a concealed gun in one place, in one state, you can carry that concealed gun in all states. It wouldn't go so far as to completely eliminate gun-free zones, but there are efforts underfoot, and I think that if we were to see a Republican president in 2016 and a Republican House and perhaps even a Republican Senate, I think you would see legislation to make concealed carry of firearms through national legislation a statutory right, a right guaranteed to you by federal law.
As we move into the future, do you think this debate, this political debate over guns on university campuses and university buildings, is going to be coming up in more and more states?
You know, I do think it's going to be coming up in more and more states. Wisconsin is not at the cutting edge here in light of the fact that just a few years ago there was only one state that allowed it, and now there's seven. This is part of an effort by gun rights advocates to push for broader concealed carry rights. It's something that they've been trying to do for about 30-odd years and have been very successful in providing greater ability for people to carry concealed guns in public. Colleges and universities are just the next area where they want to free up people to carry guns.
Adam, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Adam Winkler, professor of law at UCLA. He's the author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Yesterday, two state Republican lawmakers unveiled a bill that would allow concealed weapons inside public university buildings. And you can keep sharing your thoughts on the topic over at the Central Time Facebook page.